Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by CornNation.com, a legacy member of the Jittery Monkey podcast family at JitteryMonkey.com. And of course, welcomed with open arms into the SB Nation podcast network. At least that's what we say. SB Nation might have a different story, but my name is Greg Mahochko. Joining me is the second third of the tripod, John Dam Johnston. John, how are you, sir? Great. He's been.
I have to take my mic off mute because I'm taking mic off mute too. But it's the laugh. It's that laugh. That's what's got me laughing the entire introduction. I wasn't able to even concentrate because his dorky laugh I haven't heard in a very long time.
Well, I'm glad we're able to bring people back together. So anyway, John's here. Mike is here, Husker Mike, Mike Jackson, and the Ranch Babe herself, Jill Heemstra. Jill, welcome back to the show.
I am so glad to be here.
I'm not going to publicly disclose the phrase you used to describe the recording group earlier.
Is a good thing.
It's not my place to say. So Jill's here, and as I mentioned, Mike, haven't talked to you in a while, man. How you been?
Not too bad. Just way too much stuff going on. Our kids with all their sports and activities. Like, you don't have hardly any time to do anything. You'd think when the kids were in diapers that they were busy. No, it's when they get into late elementary school and junior highs when you suddenly see your wife in the morning and then on your way out and then when you go to bed. In the meantime, it's running around here, there, everywhere.
My gosh, yeah, they're crazier the older they get.
Yes, you think it's just the opposite,
I was going to say, you know, Jill and John both have, you know, children who are, you know, John's, of course, I'd like to say they're grown and out of the house, but he's not that lucky. And Jill's, you know, got a couple that are well on their way. But my little guy, he's only three. But yeah, I mean, Mike, it seems like you're right at that right age where they're active, but none of them are old enough to drive themselves anywhere.
Exactly. So it's like, okay, Monday night hockey. My son's has a hockey camp going on 3 nights this week. We got a baseball practice last night. Then we also have Cub Scout camp later this weekend. It's like, I don't think I've got a free evening until next weekend.
So we're lucky to have you here tonight.
Well, the problem is that eventually at some point in time, the kids he has to go to bed. He about fell asleep. I swear, I think he was about to fall asleep on the ice out there. He was laying down on the ice.
I could do that.
I was going to ask a question.
I get it.
I know. Yeah, Mike, what's it like being, essentially you're an Uber or a Lyft, right? I mean, do you ever just put one of those little signs in and then charge your kids?
Except I still have to pay for it.
But they should pay, right? I mean, you give them allowance, yeah. They turn around and pay you to take them to practice.
Maybe.
That's the way it should be.
It's an interesting idea there. I hadn't even thought about that.
Let's see.
You need to track your hours to later.
When you consider the amount it costs to send for hockey, I have to take a second job just to pay his allowance to afford that. So
that is one reason why we didn't get our kids into hockey. My God. Yeah. And then there's like, you know, up here, there's massive amounts of ice rinks. But if you're going to have ice time, you're getting up at 5:30 in the morning to go to practice sometimes.
I wasn't quite 5:45, but 5:30. But there was a couple times where I was up this past winter at 5:45. So that 7 a.m. practice gets.
Wow. No. Glad those days are done.
I can't wait. We're going to definitely mention hockey later in the show. But let's start here. We've got some quality topics to discuss. And we're going to start on a couple of, perhaps down notes. We heard early in the week, I think it was Monday, that Darren Erstad was stepping down as the head coach of the Husker baseball team. Reasons cited were, quality reasons. He may have, I don't know, there was discussion in the Slack chat room that, he couldn't get the team over the hump, things like that. And that I know that the general consensus that I picked up from the Slack chat room on Sunday was, if you're talking about firing Darren Erstad, you're crazy. I agree with that. But, he might have, after a discussion with Bill Moose, there might have been say, hey, you've got kids who, because Bill Moose, as we all know, is a family man. He said, you got kids. You probably want to see them grow up, right? Maybe now's a good time to step. I don't know. I'm not saying that happened, but family was the reason certainly that was cited for Erstad to step down. Let's discuss that. I wanted to get Keith on this week's show, but he's under the weather. So Keith, we're with you, man. We hope that you, feel better soon. Obviously there's, some stuff to dissect there at the, end of the baseball season and the Erstad conversation, but let's talk a little bit about Erstad stepping down. Jill, did that come as a shock that perhaps maybe that he wasn't, going to be the head coach moving forward, but certainly the way that it all happened?
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised, given some of, Bill Moose had done that vote of confidence earlier. We talked about, oh, Darren's going to be here as long as he wants to be or something along those lines. But it was also not entirely surprising that he resigned. I don't know if it really was family stuff and if it was good for him. But, I mean, he had to recognize at some point that Husker baseball is in a holding pattern in a little bit. And he's, I think he probably could be a good head coach, but he went right from volunteer to head coach. That's a pretty big jump. But people who know baseball better than me probably need to comment on that.
Well, I'm going to draw a parallel. Of course, I live and was born and raised in the shadows of the Gateway Arch, been a Cardinal fan my whole life. And when Tony La Russa retired, Mike Matheny, was brought in as a manager. And, of course, he played, a decade plus, spent a long time with the Cardinals, I think finished his playing career with the Giants and then was coaching Little League. And then kind of out of nowhere, plucked from obscurity, as some would say, he was named the manager. I mean, he might have had some, front office, job or something like that with the ball club. But then he was named the manager, and it didn't work out. And it took a team that, I think, prior, within the last year or two before he was the manager, they were playing in the World Series, they were playoff contenders, and then over time started, just decelerating. With Erstad, I thought, maybe they never got over the hump, but they were always competitive. I mean, you look at this year, they were, second place in the Big Ten tournament. They had a regional win. And, at times we're playing some really fantastic ball.
I'd argue that they were probably one out away from being in a super regional.
That's right, because they were up, I think, 3 runs in the 9th inning Oklahoma State. I definitely don't see Bill Moose's, vote of confidence as just being for show. I think that, I think Darren Erstad, because he's, I don't know if legacy is the right word, but, an alum, obviously has ties to the football and the baseball programs, could have written his own story, as the Husker coach. And unfortunately, they didn't have as much success as all Husker fans. And, obviously, players and coaches, wanted to have throughout his tenure. But if you get the perfect excuse, if you will, you know, say, hey, you know what? My kids are growing up. I want to spend time, you know, being their dad and watch. To me, it seemed, you know, he didn't go out like he was the worst in the Big Ten. You know, he was able to go out on his own terms, John.
How many times have we been to the College World Series?
I'll look that up. You keep talking.
I think three.
Three times. How many years have we played baseball? 90? 100 years of baseball? Three fucking times we've been to the College World Series, and everybody – there's a lot of baseball fans, Nebraska baseball fans, that act like we should be going there every year because of some God-given right. I'll tell you what. When I heard about Darren Erstad retiring or, you know, resigning, I was completely shocked, and then I cried because I've been around Erstad a number of times, being in press conferences, being on the field next to him, taking photos and stuff like that. The guy is a class act. He's an amazing person. I think that all of his players, you know, I mean, and most of the time when you get around players who would say, I'd run through a wall for my coach, they would say that for a lot of coaches. But I think, I don't think there was anything more to this than Darren Erstad saying, you know what, I did this for a while. I think I'm going to go watch my kids grow up, and that's it. And as far as not getting over the hump, you know, he was within one out or one strike of getting probably, like you said, a super regional. but the whole we should walk into the Big Ten and own it and never lose a game to Northwestern or somebody like that. We'll see how the next coach does, who it is, and how he does. And, you know, if he isn't just killing everybody in the Big Ten where there are good teams and where there are good coaches – are we just going to want to crucify the next guy in 2 years? So it's a never ending. That is never ending with us. The constant drama, the constant demands, the constant. I guess that's sports fans, isn't it?
Point of order, John. You make that claim about every coach in every sport at the University of Nebraska. You know, and you're not wrong. You know, if certain expectations are not met in a certain time frame, and you know, Tim Miles was the same way, you know, Scott Frost, if things, you know, don't improve greatly from the 4-8 campaign, and I'm sure, you know, Hoiberg is going to experience the same. They're only given so much of a leash, you know what I'm saying, before, you know, fans just turn on them. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that we can't all just, you know, granted, you don't – what is it? What's the saying? You root for the team, but you don't necessarily have to like the players or personnel or something like that. I mean, how does that go?
Well, I'm going to throw something in here. It's a little bit of a counterpoint to what John was saying. Not a counterpoint, but didn't Nebraska and Erstad especially lobby for the Big Ten to get better at baseball? I mean, he kind of...
And they
created
did.
His own competition in some ways.
He did, and I think they have. You know what happened in the last couple days? Indiana had 10 major league ten players drafted in the major league draft. They set a record. Indiana. How many players did Nebraska have drafted?
One.
Yeah, one. Matt Waldron, who was a joy to watch. Now, if everybody thought he was such a bad coach, and I realize this is a really small sample and I'm kind of, you know, cherry picking, but Indiana had that many players drafted. We had one and we still got as far as we did. I would say that's coaching, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and most of Nebraska's talent was young in baseball, wasn't it? I mean, it wasn't the upperclassmen necessarily.
Starting pitchers next. Yeah.
So true. Yeah,
that's
pitching was
going to be. You can grow.
The next guy is screwed starting out.
No, I think coming back, they have a lot of. I do think they have a lot of talent coming back, and in fact, I'd almost go so far as to say the next head coach is going to. You know, it's not like the cupboards are bare. You know, you might have to, you know, develop some pitching, but. You should be developing pitching every year. You know, you should never just be like, okay, well, we've got three quality upperclassmen. Those are our weekend guys, and we're going to ride them, you know, to the wherever. Because eventually, like we're seeing, those guys are going to grade out. You know, they're going to graduate. You know, so you've always got to be developing. It's like quarterbacks. You've always got to be developing that next, you know, next man up.
Are we ready for next?
I mean, we can be. Yeah, let's do it, because I have a perfect segue. A delightful segue. I've been working on this for 2 days. So on Monday...
Oh, my God. It better be good.
I'm sitting down now.
On Monday, Darren Erstad resigned, you know, stepped down as the Nebraska men's Nebraska head baseball coach. And we thought that was going to be the big story of the week. And on Tuesday, Maurice Washington said, hold my bong.
He said, hold my what?
It was a joke. It was a bong. You know, instead of like, hold my beer, like, watch this, hold my beer, he said, hold my bong, because he got popped for, you know, drug paraphernalia. Well, John, it's not funny if I have to explain it to you.
And that's well, that, I didn't know. All of a sudden it cut out there. I didn't hear the last part of it at all.
Be that way. So anyway, Maurice Washington back in trouble.
We waited 2 weeks. We waited 2 days for that.
Shut up, Mike. This is my damn show, and I'll make whatever bad jokes I want to. So anyway, Maurice Washington back in the news in unfortunate manner.
Is this a deal? I mean, it's a deal because he's already under. I mean, you have to admit it's stupid. It's really stupid when you're already like facing potential felony charges, right? But to actually add on to it, it's like, oh my God, but what's going on, Maurice, dude?
I think you said it right there, John. If there weren't the issues that he's, you know, the legal situation in California, I don't think it's an issue. But if anything, and I think someone made this point in the Slack chat room, it just shows poor judgment on his case. Like, he doesn't realize the magnitude of scrutiny that he's under and the intensity of the spotlight that's on him. I mean, you've got to be squeaky clean if you want to try to continue playing Division I college football facing the situation you're facing in California. Like, you can't have any more hiccups, you know? That's like that was a hell of a strike one. And I don't know if or how he's going to recover.
Mike?
The pot charge by itself is a very minor effect. I mean, there's 10 states where it's not even an issue. But as was pointed out, it's like, he's already in enough trouble. And I would argue what he's been accused of in California is probably two strikes, counts double.
That is true.
You know, it's a very serious charge there. He should be on a very short leash, and you know, he's already on that tipping point where there's a lot of people who want him gone just based off what he's been accused of so far. You know, this might be like dropping a feather on the pendulum, and that's the thing that sends him crashing down. Because you know, by itself, it's not really a big deal. Heck, like I said, it's legal in 10 states, but.
Almost to be not, 11 if you include Illinois.
I want to know what really happened. I mean, you know, the UNLP police show up to his room and they're like, hey, it smells funky here. And then they go, we're not really finding anything except whose bong is this? And then everybody in the room points at Maurice. You know what I mean? Yeah. He didn't have one guy to go, I'm your dude, Maurice. Come on. I'm your dude, Mo. I'll take it for you. No, it's my bong, officer.
Somebody in the dorm thinked him out, but what was it? What time was it that they got there? Wasn't it something like it was way in the
It early was in morning the wee hours.
Wee hours, you know, the time of day when nothing good happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's the same dorm where my son lived this past year and where he's going to live this upcoming year. So, yay.
And it's summer school, too. I mean, you know, it's like there aren't that many people on campus other than football players. So.
And wait a minute. Which dorm was it? Does anybody know?
University Suites. Nope. Yeah, University Suites.
Okay, so newer stuff. It's not like Schramm or Harper.
Oh, yeah,
and
it's
like
a
that.
Big complex, you know. It's
where the rich people live.
Well, I wouldn't exactly say that.
don't they usually put the athletes together on this stuff also? I mean, do you get finked out by
a
team?
So.
You know, it's like you know, yeah, that's an interesting dichotomy. It's like, because, you know, UNL police didn't just come wandering by. Somebody made the report, so.
Not my
like, probably a walk on, running back.
No, I mean, Mike, you bring up a good point, because my question is, and obviously every individual has to be held accountable for their decisions, right or wrong, you know, good or bad, they have to be held accountable. But when you're in, when you're on a team, like where were the teammates? Does he not have any friends on the team that he can hang out with that would, you know, help guide him down the straight and narrow path? You know what I mean? I mean, it just seems like
they could have been there. They could have been there. Yeah. For all we know, they could have been there. It wasn't their bong.
That's
right.
That's fair.
Huh?
I mean, no, you're not wrong.
You just a pattern of behavior or just bad judgment eventually tells you enough.
Yeah.
I mean, send a video to somebody you dated how many years ago, and then when you're under the microscope to do something like this, regardless of how you feel about the situation, I mean, you are being watched. So what do you do?
You drink your milk and you get to bed by 10 o'clock.
Lately. That's what you do. So my question is, and I'll ask everybody, or, you know, we can go around the horn. Does he have any more chances at Nebraska? Or, I mean, that's one significant and one relatively minor, you know, infraction. Does he suit up in 2019 for Nebraska or ever again? Mike?
My guess is that everything is on hold until we get some more clarification as to just what's going on in California. I don't think there's any rush to go ahead and make any call. Let the legal process work its way out for another, you know, 2 months, really. And then in August, see where things lie. If, you know, my suspicion is that based on the stat where we're at right now, what we know, that I think he will not play, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he's gone from Lincoln until this case in California gets resolved. But I think until that case in California is resolved, he's unlikely to play. I mean, he was pretty limited in spring practice.
No, I don't disagree with you at all. John, what's your take?
You know, they did an amazing job of just kind of looking past this stuff in the first place, didn't they? You know what I mean? Like, we didn't know anything about that, you know? And the public has a short attention span, so, you know, like Mike said, it's up to what happens in California, and then people 3-4 months from now, fall practice or start, I guess, in 2 months. And then people would just go, you know what I mean? So, plus we seem to have lately hired more mercenary type coaches just recently. There you go.
Jill, what do you think is Mo Washington's status going forward?
Yeah, I don't know, but my son just walked over to me. He's like, what happened in University Suites? He was like hearing me talk to you guys on the on the podcast, but yeah.
He doesn't know?
Did you have to tell him that in college?
I put you guys on mute and I explained. He was like, oh yeah, I'm not surprised.
I was going to say, does he not know that occasionally in college people experiment with recreational drugs?
Well, not him.
Well, of course not him. Not me either.
No, not wink, at all. Wink. You know, back in my day, you always stuck a towel under the door, so none of that stuff came under the door. I'm guessing they don't care anymore.
Tell us how else you skirted the system, John, when you were in college.
I didn't do that. I never enjoyed marijuana.
Never enjoyed it, but that doesn't mean you never?
You remember before this we said that we wouldn't go down rabbit holes?
Yeah.
What's that?
John wasn't into that other stuff.
You cut out there, but you said I would be more likely.
Yeah, he said you were into other stuff.
You know, in Harper, or I'm sorry, I lived in Shram 6, and what would happen is at the desks, there was this board, and you could unscrew that board. And when you did, you found that the wall board behind it had been completely kicked out or cut out. So if the room next to you, that wall board was cut out. So if that guy unscrewed his little board that was right underneath his desk, you could take an entire keg and shove it through that thing into the next room. So when people were banging on your door going, what's going on in there? You were shoving a keg into the next room. And if necessary, the next room after that. But, you know, what do I know? Anyway, let's move on.
We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, more topics and discussion on the Five Heart Podcast.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Welcome back to the Five Heart Podcast. Greg Mahochko, John Dam Johnston, Jill Heemstra, and Husker Mike Jackson. And we are back with more just scintillating conversation for you. We've knocked out two big topics. The next ones probably won't take as long. But let's get to... Here's something that I didn't see coming. We talked about Darren Erstad stepping down. I didn't see Jim Delaney ever retiring or resigning as Big Ten commissioner. I thought he would find a way to, you know, cryogenically freeze himself in that position. But he's out, and we have a new Big Ten commissioner, John.
We do have one. But here's what I've heard. I've heard that Jim Delaney is going to have his head cut off and sealed in one of those glass jars, just like in Futurama.
I'm glad you made the Futurama reference.
So about 10 years from now, we're going to have Delaney's back. Delaney's back.
I'm so excited because then we can also drop little like fish food flakes into his jar.
It's sealed, Greg.
Not in Futurama. It's not, John.
Oh, it isn't?
I watch Futurama every night at bedtime. It is my happy place. It's my warm blanket of entertainment. I go to sleep to Futurama every night on Hulu. And I encourage everybody else to.
Wow.
So I can't tell you how many the number of times I've been through the entire series. It's a fun show. I dare I say, and here we go. If you've ever wanted to call in and complain about something that was said on this podcast, I am going to give you a golden opportunity. I'm going to get that phone number for you. It's important that you know that the phone number to call in and complain, leave a voicemail, is 402-327-1830. Again, 402-327-1830. The most controversial thing I'll ever say probably on the Five Heart Podcast, I like Futurama more than I like The Simpsons.
That's controversial.
I think I guess if I framed it in a way that made it sound like Futurama was better than The Simpsons, but no, I enjoy it more. I never really got into The Simpsons. I wasn't allowed to watch it as a kid, you know, because we only had one TV and wasn't going to be spent watching silly cartoons. So as I grew up, Futurama came around about the time I was late in high school and gravitated towards that.
So there you go. Either of you other two think that that's even remotely controversial?
I don't think I've ever watched Futurama. So,
oh my god, what the hell, Jill?
I'm the token female here, so yeah, I got no opinion. Sorry.
Wow.
No, I've seen enough Simpsons to know that it's sort of funny, maybe-ish. I've never watched Futurama. Sorry, Greg.
That's okay. You can't see it, but all of the wind just went out of my sails.
I have a feeling that we're just going to... this conversation is going to end up on the cutting room floor, and it's going to be a half-hour podcast this week.
You would be surprised.
He doesn't cut anything. He doesn't cut anything. God,
I don't.
Anyway,
believe
the Big Ten commissioner Kevin Warren. His name is Kevin Warren.
It took us a long time.
He has
back
zero ties to anything. He has zero ties to the Big Ten. Zero. But he looks like a very impressive human being, except for the fact they spent, like, since 2015 as the chief operating officer of the Minnesota Vikings, a franchise in which there's never been a season in which they didn't let their fans down. He's going to rub losing off on the Big Ten.
Oh, no, actually,
we're all doomed.
This is good news for Nebraska, because I don't know if you know this or not, but J.D. Spielman's father also is, you know, connected or tied to the Minnesota Vikings. So obviously this is going to play directly into Nebraska football's success moving forward.
I love your optimism, Greg.
I mean, I don't know of any other Big Ten school that has, a tie directly to, you know, Minnesota. I don't know. Moving on. So I'm glad we finally got around to his name, because I didn't know his name, and now I do. Kevin Warren. Do we applaud for him, or do we wait and see if he's done anything important first?
Well, one thing is that the only thing he's really got to do is start kicking the tires on a new TV deal in a couple of years. So really, he's got time. There's no major decisions he has to make. I mean, unless Texas starts acting like Texas and start trying to blow up the what's left of the Big 12 again. But, you know.
But what's he going to do about Rutgers?
cash every one of those checks from New York City's cable companies.
let me ask you this.
Correct answer. Ding, ding, ding.
No, Jill, since you...
Yeah, well, it's like we were at family dinner and you just said, like, what are we going to do about Uncle Bob?
I don't know.
He's passed out. Leave him alone. Don't kick him.
Since Jill brought up the redheaded stepchild in the room, would you trade a Rutgers for a Texas?
No.
I was going to say, you don't get to choose any other team. It's got to be like, all right, Rutgers is out, Texas is in.
No.
Do you think there's room in the big? I mean, one thing Jim Delaney was excellent at was keeping the egos in Ann Arbor and Columbus in check.
That's what I'm wondering. Does Texas see, you know, a new commissioner with no, you know, really, I mean, no commissioner experience? Do you think they try to bully their way into the conference?
Only if they mistake Minnesota Nice for their opportunity.
That's
right. And I'll let John riff on Minnesota Nice.
Hey, I'm going to go back to that. You know what? Texas can't push around Ohio State. They can't push around Michigan. You know else who they can't push around? They can't push around Northwestern. You know why? Because this conference is equal. And Northwestern has been around for a very long time in the conference. They can't push around Michigan State. There's nothing Texas can do for bullying coming into the Big Ten.
I thought you were
Everyone, including Northwestern, would look at them and tell them to go fuck themselves.
I thought you were going
to say do this or that.
Even Rutgers.
John,
yes.
I thought you were going to say they can't push around Northwestern because they'd be, you know, like limping into the conference with their highest cumulative GPA in team history at 2.89 for football. And then Northwestern would look at that and laugh and say, I'm sorry, our third string long snapper has a higher GPA than your entire team.
And when did Texas win some kind of significant championship in debate and speech? I mean,
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and the other thing is they would have to come to they'd have to play in Ann Arbor in November.
They would freeze.
That's what
I
do too. At night.
Because I've never been that far north. What is worse, at night in November or like 11 in the morning?
Oh, at night.
Okay. I mean, I guess that makes sense.
In November at night.
Listen. Yeah, when the sun goes down up here, right? Because here's the thing you need to understand about Minnesota is far enough north that our days get to be very long. But when winter comes, the days get to be pretty short. So when the sun goes down in November, I mean, the temperature's just dropping like a rock. And people aren't – if you're not used to that, I mean, you turn into a – that's why they don't play night games in November in the Big Ten. Because it just gets – it can get extremely cold, like – deadly cold.
Yeah, when the sun goes down, it takes about 20 degrees off the temperature. 40 degrees in the afternoon. You put on an extra sweatshirt, a heavy coat, you know, and you survive. 40 degrees after dark feels like it's in the 20s, and you've got to add three more layers on top of it. And if it's in the 20s and it's at night. That's brutal.
It's darn cold. Okay. Well, now I know.
And that's why the Vikings built their indoor stadium made all of glass. So it was like a greenhouse, right, John? I think you watched that from your hospital bed, didn't you?
I did. One of the things I had was what I was told was, if you can get up and walk to the end of the hall by yourself and back, you can leave the hospital. So this was a very big goal for me. And at the end of the hall was a window to the Viking stadium. So I would walk down there and go, losers. And then I'd walk back.
Let's move on while we're talking. Big Ten. Let's go even bigger scale to the NCAA. Men's basketball has pushed back the three-point line, and I mean it's now to the international length, and I couldn't care less.
Wow! Do either of you care?
Does it affect women's basketball?
No.
Does anybody know? No.
Well, that means
they're
going to have to be painting stripes between games, moving the stripes on the court, so. Of course, with the amount of money Nebraska's got now, they'll probably just have two different floors. They'll just pick up the women's floor and the men's floor.
That's probably true, actually. I want to point out that this happened. This happened just as we hire Fred Hoiberg, who, if I'm not mistaken, he's known for running a high shooting, high offense, high octane offense. I don't know. Maybe he runs a high offense, but ba-dum-ching. Anyway, that's
so terrible. Maurice Washington's going to be the point guard.
Yeah, there you go. But they changed this just as we show up with a guy that's going to run a lot of 3 points. They're literally against us.
Well, I
don't know that they could be. I don't know that it's going to make a difference for Hoiberg, but it might cut down on the number of other teams that kick that shoot the three. So
look, the NIT, you know, played with this a little bit, you know, this past postseason, and when they pushed it back. You know, for the National Invitational Tournament, and the needle didn't move a whole lot. It went from 35.2% in the regular season to 33% in the NIT, and that was, you know, and this is straight from USA Today. The 32-team field attempted 23.1 three-pointers during the postseason tournament compared to 22.8 attempts during the regular season. So, I mean, they were, you know, for lack of a better term, desperation, whatever you want to call it. You know, game is on the line. Let's chuck up a three. Attempting them more, marginal, I would say, you know, marginally less successful. So, I don't know. Like I said, it doesn't wow me one way or the other. You know, it's college basketball, and it's just something to do until the next baseball season or football season. I mean, so
wow, you know what? You're going to be changing your tune. We start winning.
Hey, I'm riding the high of the St. Louis Blues right now. Okay,
we had to stick the hockey in here, didn't we?
Hey, to quote Matthew Wilder,
obviously you were comatose on Saturday night.
Yeah, I was watching the game. I was just not happy.
I was suffering at my daughter's dance recital, and I bring up Twitter and says, "Oh, okay, I'm not missing. I'll watch my daughter dance."
At one point, I got off the couch, and my wife, she looks, she's like, "You're gonna go get a beer, aren't you?" I'm like, "Yeah." It was not. It was a 3-goal deficit in the first period. I'm like, "This is gonna be a long night," and it was. And then they bounced back, and a little peek behind the curtain for all you listeners out there. We're recording this on Wednesday night. Game 5 is Thursday in Boston. If St. Louis wins that one, they take a 3-2 lead and have a chance to win their first Stanley Cup in franchise history coming up on Sunday. And it'd be at home at the Enterprise Center in St. Louis. That'd be pretty fantastic stuff. All right, that's pretty much all the hockey that I had. Just a quick little update. Of course, everybody's listening to this after the game. Game 5 has been played, so hopefully everybody is a Blues fan and they're happy for me.
I think the only thing I know about the Stanley Cup isn't like every member of the winning team is supposed to be able to take it home and do whatever they want with it for like a day.
Oh, my God. I mean,
they get a day with it.
Yeah, you get a day with the Stanley Cup. What would you do with your day with the Stanley Cup?
I would, honestly, I'd put a hat on it and put like strap it in the front seat of my pickup truck and like use the express lane. Me and Stanley, we're getting there quicker than everybody else. Yeah, but it's, you know, there's some reverence involved. Like, you know, I don't think anybody's doing anything lewd with it. Jill, get your mind out of the gutter.
Oh no, I think I've read about is like they've been putting it in like dropping it in swimming pools and you know
one player a couple years ago I think had his kid baptized in it.
Yeah.
See, now it don't
Mike,
get it.
Mike, you need to tell us these Stanley Cup stories.
It doesn't get any classier than that.
Well, then there's, you know, all,
I'm staying out of this whole thing.
And most of the time, it's just mostly alcohol that's going in it. But
okay, no, I just looked this up. This is legit. This is in 2017. A Penguins player had his son baptized in the Stanley Cup, and that's just fantastic. And it happened.
I hope they cleaned it a lot before that.
Here we go. And it happened.
Well, usually it's got plenty of alcohol in it, so I'm sure it's.
This is the best part of the whole story.
It's sanitized.
The best part of the whole story was that it happened in Minnesota. It happened in John's backyard.
John's just upset because he didn't get invited.
Probably.
You know, I will say that I like hockey. I just haven't watched it for a long time. So now that you guys are talking about it, I'll try to watch some of the finals. And then there's my favorite hockey joke. Jesus save, Esposito scores on the rebound.
Oh, that was good.
I'm sure you've heard that a million times.
I haven't.
And it's probably Esposito. I mean, that's so... Really? Maybe it's I'm old.
That's what it is. It's your old. So anyway, that's our hockey talk. And one last... Well, no, we are actually already... John, will you get out of the damn Google Doc and stop making changes?
Sorry.
You're changing things
on the fly. I have to make myself nuts.
You wrote down your joke before you said the joke. I'm looking at it now. Jesus
because
saves
I didn't
Esposito
want to
scores
forget
on
it. It was so important.
This day's here.
So
I really want access to this Google Doc now.
we will give it. You know what? We'll give you the access to it if you come on and you come up with topics.
Oh,
did I say that? It's not my show. It's Greg's show.
Well, no, it's our show. You're one third.
Oh,
of the
it
tripod.
Is.
You're one third of the tripod. See, without
that's
you, John, we'd just fall over. You think that without you, Haas and I can stand on our own?
No.
Yeah, see?
Absolutely not.
I like how you didn't hesitate. Actually, that kind of pisses me off.
Damn right.
So real quick, since we mentioned at the top of the show that Darren Erstad stepped down, do we have any... You know, I know Will Bolt's a name that's been tossed around, but... Do we have any favorites as far as who we would like the next head baseball coach at Nebraska to be?
Rick Heller from Iowa.
We don't do anything from Iowa. What are you talking about?
He's a damn good coach. He really is. He just, I mean, wherever he's been, he's won. He took Northern Iowa to like a regional.
I feel like,
that's unheard of.
I feel like
there. All I ever heard is that Rick Heller is a damn good coach. Now you guys pick one.
Next week you're going to say Kirk Ferentz for defensive coordinator for Nebraska.
No, that well he might be a good defensive coordinator. I don't know.
Get the fuck out of here, John.
Because he punts from the 30-yard line.
Yeah. Okay, who else got a baseball coach guy?
Jill.
Oh gosh, yeah. I don't. Surely there has to be somebody from the College World Series team or teams that. Somebody can hire back, isn't that how we do things at Nebraska?
There's not, and quit calling me Shirley.
Okay, then I'm done. That's my input.
No, I'm kidding. I was airplane joke.
Pepsi and milk, Greg, right?
Yeah.
Laverne and Shirley? Okay, so yeah, I'm old, sorry.
So I was making an airplane reference.
Yes.
You went Laverne and Shirley, which is way out of my age range.
I did understand the airplane reference. I just tried to, take it and show how old I was.
Okay,
sorry.
So let me ask you this one then, Jill. Better female duo, Laverne and Shirley or Thelma and Louise?
Oh, good grief. Thelma and Louise was way more fun. I mean, Laverne and Shirley was... boring. I mean, Thelma and Louise, they jumped over a cliff.
Yeah, and they died. Think about that.
Yeah, that's way more fun,
you know,
right?
You know what Laverne and Shirley got to do? Work at a brewery.
And well, okay, no, I'm rethinking my answer now.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, no, Laverne and Shirley, hands down.
Okay.
Even though it was probably Milwaukee beer. Oh, wait, no, okay.
Well,
Cliff,
Blatzer,
Milwaukee beer.
Okay,
I'm sort of
everything in those days, everything in those days was the equivalent of Milwaukee beer.
Yeah, no, oh, I have friends that make fun of me for liking some of Leinenkugel's stuff.
I'll tell you what, though. Have you had their canoe paddler?
As opposed to what?
No. I'm asking Jill a legitimate question.
Oh.
Jill, have you had Lina Kugel's canoe paddler?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that's a nice light beer. My husband likes it. I can feed that to him, and he doesn't touch my summer shandy. And
yeah, I wouldn't touch a summer shandy.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. All right, so...
Do you think summer shandy is dish soap?
It's not great.
I'm not a big summer shandy guy. Mike, did you have a baseball coach of mine?
Oh, yeah, well, we kind of got off track, didn't we?
By the way, shot light.
This became CN Slack After Dark, where it just goes off on weird tangents. And
by the way, Schott's Brewery is where Laverne and Shirley work.
Schott's, that's it. That was it. That was the word. One thing I have learned with Bill Moose is he's not afraid to go big. So, yeah, a guy like Heller, he's probably a good plan B or C guy. I think he's going to take a flyer on a big name out there, you know. And I think he's going to kick those tires when he gets a chance, you know. You know, guy at Virginia. I'm losing names escaping me right now. But I think he's gonna kick the tires on some big names. I think there's a bunch of names that he could. That could be out there, but I think the only names I wouldn't, the only name I think I would rule out would be Dave Van Horn at this point, because I just don't see him leaving home.
No, plus he came within one out of winning a College World Series last year.
Yeah, so that's the only name I think I rule out. I mean, anything else, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, you know, Nebraska's, I keep going back to, you know, a lot of people, there's a mindset out there in the past that, oh, Nebraska isn't going to spend this kind of money. Well, we went out there and got Frost. We went out there and got pulled the Hollyberg off. Nebraska's picked up an extra 25 plus million a year. And so there are resources there. There's that word again, that Nebraska can tap into if for the right guy. That doesn't mean going out there and just spending, doing something crazy like, oh, giving Mike Riley a $3 million contract. But if you've got a proven winner out there, hey, take a flyer.
I'm glad you mentioned
Mike. Yep. Did you see that guy got a job again?
Well, I knew he was going to get a job again because he just likes coaching football. But, you know, again, it's in one of those. For those of you who may have missed it, Mike Riley is now the offensive coordinator for the Seattle XFL team. So I don't know if he's going to be the guy who designs up the game opening midfield scrum or what, but he's going to be the offensive coordinator in the XFL after his premature exit from the Alliance of American Football or whatever it was.
Yeah, down whatever Antonio, the hell that was.
That team, you know, some guy pulled the plug out of 2 weeks before the season was over. And
yeah, that part didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, the timing of it, but
yeah, that was crazy. It's like, well, I think he was trying a power play and nobody was playing with his game. So
well,
he just threw the money away.
Wasn't the situation that he wanted the app. I mean, he wasn't after the league. He wanted the
The technology that the league had developed and kind of bought that and said, heck with the football, heck with the football, and pull the rug out of things. You know, remember there was a story about down that in that Riley's team that there was a coach that basically looted the, you know, after they announced they were shutting down, there was a coach there basically just started looting the office and supposedly went wandering out of the offices with flat screen TVs and such. It's like, and people are trying to picture Mike Riley being lugging a 55 inch screen out.
If you weren't going to get paid, you'd go get a TV. Wouldn't you? Come on. I would.
Mike Riley has money for life. He doesn't need a TV.
That is not the point. The point is I would have a 55-inch TV, and when people came over to my house, I would look at them and go, you know where I got that? You know where I got that TV? Yeah.
The point is John is not Mike Riley, which is a good thing in many, walked many away. Ways.
Mike Riley left Nebraska with what? Probably what? About $6 or $7 million buyout. And how much if you want a 55-inch TV? I gotta go look up on Costco, but I bet you can get a 55-inch TV for probably $450-$500.
Again, it's not the money. It's where it came from. It's the story behind it. Impress your friend.
And Mike Riley needs no story either, John. He's totally.
What are you
he's
saying
like,
about me?
All of you are paying me to do this stuff. Really? Okay. I don't need to do this, but okay. If you want me to, I'll do it. But those assistant coaches, they have stories.
How you get that 55-inch TV on the back of the bicycle anyway?
Okay.
Strap it Mike to the Quinn. Top of a Prius.
Well, everybody, I think that'll be about it for this week's episode of the Five Heart Podcast, and we've had a lot of fun. We do miss dearly our friend Hoss Reuter. He'll be back next week, and John will be back next week, and for the first time in a few weeks, we'll have the three legs of the tripod. And I'm sure Hoss will have some opinions that he'll want to share on some of these topics that we've discussed this week. But, we had a great time with Husker Mike and Ranch Babe joining us in special guest appearance roles. So thank you to Jill and to Mike. Appreciate you all. And, John, as always, your wisdom and humor are second to none.
Wow, that's some sucking up.
I'm the podcast boss. What am I sucking up for?
Oh, yeah, you're right. The wisdom. You're sucking up to the wisdom.
Yeah, I mean, I'm blowing smoke up your ass.
Yeah, okay. There's that. Look, okay.
All right. So that'll be it for this episode of the Five Heart Podcast. For myself, Greg Mahoshko, John Dam Johnston, Jill Heemstra, and Mike Jackson, we remind you this week and every week that Five Heart is all the heart you need. John?
Go Big Red, man.
And, here we go. In unison, Jill and Mike.
Win the damn game.
That was fantastic. That was in such unison.
Only me?
I was in such
that
unison.
Was spirited. It was spirited. That's what that was.
All right. Take two on the count of three. One, two, three. In unison.
Win
the damn game.
You know what? I've been doing this long enough to know it's just not going to get any better than that. And I don't have the patience to try. Good night,
Sorry.
Everybody.
The delay of internet in rural Nebraska just does not work. Sorry.
It's Mike's fault. It's fine.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.